Good morning and welcome to another Tuesday edition of the Community Conversation / Morning Show with your hosts, Julie Calamine on the Zoom with me and myself, Phil Huff, and we have some exciting guests. But before that, I just like to find out what's happening now. We've rolled into November. Julie, what's going on? You're shifting from mushrooms to what?
Oh, Phil, you know this answer because it comes up almost every week. I'm shifting from mushrooms and onto indoor activities, and they include pickleball mainly, and then, of course, some preparation for holidays. What about you? Where are you shifting into, Phil?
I tell you, the mushrooms are still out there. I won't tell you where, but I came across a couple chanterelles yesterday on a rainy, rainy walk. But I'm still trying to savor the waning days of summer / fall. We're getting out and doing a little bit of exploring and the backcountry and looking out. I kind of like the rainy seasons. The cats curl up in front of the propane. We bring out the soups and stews and put on some chai tea. And there's nothing wrong with a good book under a rainy roof on a Saturday anyway.
So true. And as the days get shorter and as we end daylight savings time, I will feel like the days are much shorter by the time this interview airs. But anyway, with having said that, days are getting shorter. It might be a good time for learning new skills, learning about things. Yes, and we're lucky indoors. In this way to have, yes, indoors and outdoors, but I mean, more indoors, I would say. But with this idea in mind of learning and that sort of thing, we have a great guest and great topic this week. And today we are joined by the Kiniksu Land Trust Folk School Coordinator, and her name is Hillary Peterson. Hello, Hillary.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, Julie and Phil.
Yes, great to have you. And as a side guest, and we'll hear just a little bit from her, which is not playing her but banjo, we also have Chloe Davis. And Chloe, you are Hillary's sister. You're an instructor. Hello, Chloe.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, great to have you.
It's so exciting to have you both on the show and with something so timely, because the folk school's about to start up again. And Hillary, maybe you can give us a little bit of information about the folk school, how it began, how it fits into KLT and the broader mission of the organization. So why don't you take it from there?
Great. Yeah, thank you. So the Kiniksu Folk School is actually run through the nonprofit organization Kiniksu Land Trust, which some of you might be familiar with, a local nonprofit that helps care for the lands and the people of this region, conserving land and trying to connect people and community. So they've already to date completed 30 conservation projects, and one of them is the Pine Street Woods, which is a public access community forest, an amazing place. And that's actually the home currently of the Kiniksu Folk School. We do classes indoors and out there. And the Kiniksu Folk School is actually a very new venture of Kiniksu Land Trust. It started in the spring of 2021 and was a response really to a community call that we had for nature-based adult education. You know, KLT is very known for its amazing education in the public schools and nature connection with kids. It actually runs an award-winning week-long summer camp called Camp Kiniksu, but this sense of connection through nature education and adults learning handcraft was missing. The folk school was started this spring and has been a great success. We have amazing classes from instructors all over the region.
So you've mentioned spring, and here we are fall. Did it go on hiatus or shift in focus over the summer?
Yes, a little bit of a shift is different in the summer because it's so busy during the summertime. So shifting more towards intensives, week-long courses, that's what we're looking for more for the future. But the fall, we've rolled into several classes that we're already doing now in the fall, including birch bark basketry, herbal medicine, drop spindle class that teaches you how to learn all about fiber arts, how to take a sheep's fleece and turn it into yarn. We're already well into the fall season and excited to go into winter as well.
Yeah, neat. I have to back up for just a moment because I've known Hillary for several years. We run into each other from time to time. And Hillary, the first time that I met you, I wonder if you remember this, but it was at the Primitive Skills Week at Between the Rivers, and I don't know, it might have been like 2016, something like that. And you were teaching then and attending. And then it seems like, oh, and then the other area that I will run into you or have run into you from time to time was with Primitive Skills Skillshare weekends from time to time here in Sandpoint. So you have quite a basis for helping out with folk school. Let's talk a little bit more about that and your background in folk skills.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up in a household that was really infused with folk music and skills. My dad repaired old time string instruments at a folklore center. And my mom was always volunteering for the Folk Arts Museum, which we helped her with. We're actually in a family band. Chloe, myself, and both my mom and dad. So we grew up with the music and arts all around us. And when I got to be more of a young adult, I became really interested in wilderness living skills and what makes us uniquely human, the ancestral skills we all share if you go back far enough, making fire, weaving baskets, tanning hides. So I became really interested in that. And actually got, after I got my degree in humanities and sociology, I went on to travel the whole country learning all of these old skills from teachers all around. And over the last decade, my sister and I have both run nature connection camps for kids and have taught traditional living skills to adults and people of all ages, really. That's one of my passions.
So many questions. The museum you speak of is not around here. Draw us a picture of where it is you're coming from.
Certainly. So we grew up in Prescott, Arizona. And we traveled all over. My sister and I both took two cross-country road trips back east playing music together. And we toured Arizona with the family band. And as far as where we've been around the country, we have taught in California, in Idaho, in Arizona, in Georgia, all over, really.
How did you come to land in North Idaho?
That's a really good question. My husband and I were drawn to Sandpoint for its wild beauty and for the vibrant community we felt so easily connected with. I remember going to Evans Brothers Coffee House and meeting a couple that came up to me and said, "Your clothes are made out of deer skins. Is that brain tan buckskin?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "Let's be friends." And that's actually how I started working with Kinetsu Land Trust. One of the members of that couple was Dave Kretschmar.
I think I know who that might have been.
I was going to say, although that narrows it down to about half the customers at Evans Brothers.
Exactly.
Dave.
Yes. So I started working with Camp Kinetsu.
Well, I suspect there's some very similar trajectories here, but let's hear from Chloe. Tell us a little bit about how you became interested in these skills and teaching, and how did you get to North Idaho?
Oh, well, like Hillary was saying, we grew up in a house that really fostered creativity, music, arts, and nature connection. Our parents would take us out camping in our Volkswagen van about once or twice a month, and we'd all pile in there and go out, and they'd have us doing candle making and painting and all sorts of things out in the woods on our camping trips. So, and I've always really looked up to Hillary. She's my older sister, and so I, when I was little, always put her on a pedestal. I loved to do what Hillary was doing. And so as we got older, our friendship developed more and more, and her passion for the ancestral skills and primitive skills drew me in as well. And we started going to these primitive skills events together when I was a teenager. And I actually broke away and lived in East Tennessee for a while. I went out there for school. I studied at East Tennessee State University. They have a bluegrass, old time and country music program that I got my bachelor's through. But when I graduated, Hillary and her husband Jed were saying, "Oh, move up here." And they really wanted me to be a part of this community. And so, I spent more time in Arizona and then finally moved up here about 2 years ago.
And yeah, it really, very cool. That's just great. So you're together as a family, together making music and working on primitive skills and teaching.
It sounds like it's time to revive the family band.
Yes, my parents actually have moved up here as well.
And I think you came prepared to give us a little demonstration of some of the music you play.
Yes, yeah. And that brings me to a point of why the music as part of the folk school is so important to have. And I think part of that is just because, you know, music is...
Yeah,
it's important.
Yes.
And, you know, folk is people, right? Folk music is essentially the music of the people, for the people, by the people. And it really tells stories of the past and our heritage. And I love to play these old songs to honor the people who came before us and to honor those stories. So this is actually, we'll play one for you called Going Across the Mountain. It was discovered in an archive and it's written by Frank Prophet.
Going across the mountain, oh fare thee well. Going across the mountain, hear my banjo tell.
Excellent. And we're going to come back to some more music, but I think we should maybe step back from the KLT Folk School and take a little bit of a look at, fill us in on the folk school movement might be the right word. How did the concept come about and how did you bring it here?
Well, the story of folk schools is actually pretty fascinating. It has its roots in Denmark in the 19th century. It was actually called a school for life. So it was a way to try to transition into a democracy, and it was successful. So it created a way to empower rural communities and help dignify the rural people and what they knew rather than classical education. So it's all the different skills that it takes, everything from basketry and farming and handcraft to community events, councils, music, anything that brings people together. So it spread to the United States and is became many different things. But one of the oldest is the John C. Campbell Folk School that's out of North Carolina. So that one is very Appalachian based and has lots of different skills from that region. A lot of the folk schools are focused on regional skills. There's a folk school in Minnesota called the North House Folk School that teaches mostly northern crafts and the different plants and things that grow in the north. The handcrafts are built off of those plants and those materials, which I think is such a cool thing to take the people that are in a particular place at a particular time and use a folk school to kind of help them express that, to learn the skills, to build community and to connect them with the land.
Yeah, Hillary, what are some of the skills? You've mentioned some, but there must be even more. Give us a little listing of some of the interesting skills people have learned in folk school.
Oh, okay. Well, the skills that we've already had at the Kinnexu Folk School, kind of drawing off of a rich instructor base that's already in this region, is pack basket weaving, leather crafting, fiber arts like spinning and felting, herbal medicine, how to forage your own foods and medicines, fine arts. There's been some fine arts with natural materials, wood carving. We had a spoon carving class, and one of the students from that went home and since has carved 100 spoons. We've also had, incredible. So we've also had a music class, the first music class Chloe taught, the women's banjo class, which I thought was so cool because banjo music really, there's a lot of women in banjo music at the roots of the music, teaching the people in the family how to play. And we hope to have many more classes like storytelling, natural building, timber framing, bow making, how to knit, how to garden, blacksmithing, all these old skills that might even hearken to some people that are interested in like the Renaissance arts. Julie and I had talked about this before, but the interest in those Renaissance arts, I really think is hearkening back to people's interest in being able to make things with their hands before industry came in and we're so disconnected from the process. I actually took the drop spindle class last weekend, and it was just so cool to take this class from a woman who raised the sheep, sheared them, brought it to the class, and we got to process the whole thing from start to finish. And that was really a rewarding experience. I think it really empowers people with a sense of confidence when they know how to do that.
Right. Now, some of these skills have been taught in classes locally, not under the general guise of a folk school, but and they probably occur in lots of places besides Prescott, Arizona, and here. Are there other organized folk schools around the country that you're in contact or connection with?
Yeah, there is a network of folk schools, and because we're so new, we're just getting started connecting with all those folk schools. So like I mentioned, the North House Folk School, the John C. Campbell Folk School, there's a Highlander Folk School. So there's many folk schools you can look up around the area, but there's really no folk school within a pretty good distance of Sandpoint. So I feel like it can be a really great resource for the whole region. And
so tell us a little bit, give us a preview of the fall schedule and who might be interested in signing up and how to sign up.
Great.
But let's start with what's coming up on the horizon line.
Okay, well, actually, November 13th, we have an art making class with natural materials, which is taught by a fine artist in town. And she's really interested in taking things from our local region, like black walnuts and charcoal and all sorts of inks and dyes, making them into materials to then paint like a beautiful picture. And so that's coming up November 13th. We also have an herbal medicine class that's coming up all about the immune and lymphatic system. So the woman who's teaching that is an amazing teacher from Scotland who actually moved here. And she has a great background in herbology, and she teaches about all the plants that help support the immune system.
But Hillary, was there a date? Sorry to interrupt, but did you have a date for the herbal medicine?
That one is November 20th.
Okay.
But coming
up, writing it down. I'm writing it down to add to my calendar.
Yeah, and you can register online at this point, or you can come into Kinnexu Land Trust office. To register online, you go to kinnexu.org/Kinnexu Folk School, and you can do all of that online, or we're happy to help at Kinnexu Land Trust. Another thing to look forward to into the future is December, we're doing actually a Gifts of Yuletide mini series for people that want to make their own gifts for the holidays. So this will be 2 or 3 hour classes that you can come to the Pine Street Woods we have a Nordic Center there. That's actually owned by the Sandpoint Nordic Club, and we use their building for that. But you can come and learn how to make your own gifts. So things like needle felting, leather craft, elderberry syrup, and making containers out of the wood, and many more things that we have um, in the in the works. So you can find out more about that on the website. You can also follow us on Instagram. There's a lot of great pictures and videos and history about all the skills on there.
So wow. How long is the season? Does it go on into the winter?
Yes. So actually, our fall season is ending, wrapping up here November 20th, but we're going to have that short mini series, The Gifts of Yuletide, for the month of December. And then in January, we're kicking off the winter season with a free community gathering. And this is what we're doing for each Kiniksu Land Trust season. We kick it off with a free community gathering that always has a skill, a demo, live music, and a chance to meet other people interested in these skills and come together. So we'll be doing that about mid-January, and you're welcome to come out and enjoy, and we'll be announcing the winter classes at that point.
Hillary, this reminds me a little bit of the previous Skillshare, primitive skills Skillshares, where folks would come together, learn a skill, and often there was a potluck. Is there any food? And of course, I always want to know about food, but is there any food that might be involved?
Yes. Well, these seasonal community gatherings that the folk school hosts always have food involved, Julie. So don't you worry about that.
I think Julie was looking for something more like a bread making class.
Yes. Okay.
Maybe. Yeah, in general,
it's interesting. Tell us more about pre-requirements. Are you looking for a certain age group or experiential level, open to all?
Yeah, it is open to all, to beginner level through advanced. If you want to learn a new skill, or if you've never done anything like this before, it's an adult education school. So at this point, it is just for adults. We're also taking older teenagers that might be interested. So adults and older teenagers is who we're targeting, but really anyone in the community who wants to learn these skills and build their resilience and knowledge in sustainable living arts and crafts.
Mm-hmm. And yes. We've talked about the role of music in the general concept of for the people and the environment you're trying to create. You haven't mentioned any specific music classes. Are they part of it?
Yes. So Chloe just a couple weeks ago taught a banjo class. So each season there will be a music class of sorts. In the winter, there will be a whole song series that you can come and learn old songs. No experience necessary. I think it's amazing to learn music in a folk way, because it's usually passed down orally or through generations. So it's not something that you have to be extremely adept at to begin with, or musical to begin with. You can come in at the ground level and join that. So the music will be a part of it.
That's neat. And Hillary, does one need to have an instrument, or is it also for the folks that just like to sing, or maybe bang a stick on a drum or something?
Depending on the class, the song series is going to be no instrument required. Just bring yourself. The banjo class, we had banjos available if you didn't have one. So it just depends on the class, but mostly we will provide what you would need.
Yeah, nice.
There's so many things we could ask you. I'm curious though, to dig a little deeper into, we began with your personal interest in all of this. And as we come towards the end of the interview and we've run through the classes, tell us a little bit about how the teaching of them and the coordinating of them helps reinforce your own connections to nature.
Well, I think that connecting people to the skills is something that we all have in common. We all have these skills in common. Like I said before, no matter how far you go back, your ancestors did these skills in some way. So in these times, I think it's important to share the skills and build strong community connections for more resilience as a whole. The empowerment of making a fire by hand, or the sustainability of harvesting your own wild food or medicine, or even carving your own spoon. And we start to create a community story through music and craft that really weaves us together and helps us to feel as if we belong to the world. Real human connections, I feel like, or make us who we are. And this is something that can't be taken away from us. We can have the power to live, closer to the earth and build a resilient life way and nourish the community and the land and ourselves at the same time.
Well put.
Yes, and it really speaks to the values we have as a society, what's important to us. And I really hear that coming through loud and clear in your conversation with us today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What are some of the other things you'd like to share with listeners that we haven't touched yet?
Well, Chloe and I have another song that we could share with you, one that she actually wrote.
Oh, we'd love that.
Yeah, it's one I wrote about a traveling musician I met and just the way that he let music permeate his being and his life. You'll have to excuse the tuning. You can't have banjo without the painful tuning.
I was about to mention that I was watching you tuning, and that is sort of the only banjo joke, right? That they're always out of tune, but it looks like you've got it handled now.
Right.
So this is not part of the song, just for clarity.
Exactly.
If you take a banjo class with Chloe, you will learn how to tune the banjo, the first step.
That's actually the advanced class alert.
Funny.
All right, this is called Music Is My Home.
And Lester Flatten Earl Scruggs would be proud.
Yay. Oh,
thank you.
Beautiful.
It feels like I've heard you guys perform somewhere before. Have you two been out in public doing gigs?
Yes, actually, since Chloe moved here, we have played with a few different groups. Currently, we are playing with our family band, Homespun. We played for the Harvest Picnic, which was our first folk school gathering. And you would be interested to know, Julie, that there was a pie making contest. We had several pies there, and we had old time games and an axe demo. It was very fun. So there was live music there. And Chloe and I are playing next, November 13th, we're playing at Jack Frost Fest. That is a free community event with Maddox Farm Productions. So
I think I saw you on the lineup for that.
Where will that be, guys? Where will we be playing? Here in town?
At the Granary District outside of Matchwood and Evansville. Yeah.
Oh, I'll put that on my calendar as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, it's an all afternoon event with a pretty interesting lineup of folks. So I look forward to seeing you there. Well, as we're coming to the close of the interview, we'd love to hear any final thoughts and, of course, contact information one more time about how people can find out more about the Folk School and sign up.
Great. Yes. Final thoughts are just we'd love to welcome anybody in the community that wants to come and join classes at the Folk School, join our community gatherings, and be a part of an educational model that places relationships and culture and community at the center of learning and of life. So come and join us at kinexu.org/kinexufolkschool. You can also Google Kinexu Folk School and we're the first one to come up. Yeah.
All right. That is so nicely put, Hillary. It just makes me want to come and get to know you all.
Yes, excellent. Well, thank you both for joining us today. And for our listeners, if you've missed any of this and would like to listen to it again, it will be available as a podcast at krfy.org and click on the podcasts. For this morning's show, Julie and I have been having conversation with Hillary Peterson, the Kinexu Land Trust Folk School Coordinator, and her sister, Chloe Davis, as an instructor and wonderful support on the banjo there, Hillary. It's been just fabulous having the hour conversation or half hour conversation with you. And we hope for our listeners that you tune in again. Thank you both.
Thank you so much.